Good Monday morning to you. It's time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your hosts are W.K. and Ken Boyce. Good morning, gentlemen.
And good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. If you would like to give us a call today, we're talking about parents and politics. Parents and politics. This is the season. And we're talking about parents and the need for parents to educate our children about the political system and about what principles our country is founded upon and how incumbent it is upon us as parents and grandparents to make sure that our children know what's going on in the country, that they really are a part of something bigger than themselves. And it's important that they know that. It's important that they know that they live in a community that also lives communities that live in a state and states that live within a country, within a nation. And so this morning, if you'd like to give us a call, it's 862-9977 or *56 on your cell phone. We also have Ken here in the studio.
Good morning, everyone. Nice liquid sunshine coming down. As of right now, it's not frozen, so I'm a very, very happy man. Granted, I did like the temperature yesterday, but between snow and ice, I'll take the rain any day of the week.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday was beautiful. Beautiful day here in the Ozarks. In fact, this weekend was a great, great weekend. And it just hasn't decided if it's going to be springtime or wintertime yet.
We're in the crossover.
Yeah, in the crosshairs, I think.
Listening to RJ looking at the radar earlier, that may be true.
Wow. You know, there was an old tombstone that had this inscription on it. It said, "Remember, friend, as you passed by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you shall be. Prepare, therefore, to follow me." And someone had come in, and underneath that had written, "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." So that's the question this morning. Do our children know how we are involved in the workings of our community, in the workings of our state government, in the workings of our national government? There's a lot of focus today on elections, and children are hearing a lot about elections, and they're talking about it at school. But my sense is that there's some children that are not hearing a lot about anything at home. And part of the reason is because some parents have bought into the notion that there are two things in life that you don't discuss, and that's religion and politics. And yet this country is founded on discussing religion and politics. And not only be able to discuss it, but we're persuaded and encouraged to be involved in it. To actually be involved in local politics or the state politics or national politics. And so we need to know that as parents, we have a need to be involved. We have a need ourselves to know what's going on as far as the political process. But more importantly is to know the principles that this country is founded upon. What the founding documents say, what the founding documents really contain. And we're going to talk a lot about that this morning.
If you'd like to give us a call, again, our phone number is 862-9977. If you're outside the area or listening on the internet, give us a call at 1-800-375-0056. Every week, this is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Springfield Marriage and Family Institute was established to offer Christian marriage and family counseling to people in Springfield and all of Southwest Missouri. That includes Oklahoma and Arkansas as well. We provide seminars and workshops on marriage and family. So if you have a need, if you're a leader of a congregation or a leader of a company and want to have some information brought to the individuals that you're helping and overseeing, give us a call. One thing about it is that happy families, happy employees make good employees.
Oh, yeah, that's always true.
So the happier the home life is, the better the employee. And then also, we provide a facility where graduates can intern and receive supervision for licensure to become licensed professional counselors. So we're helping train the next generation as well. If you want to find out a little bit more about us, go online to Springfield MFI for Marriage and Family Institute, springfieldmfi.com. You can take a look at the site, look around. If you like what you're hearing, and I really wish my friends or family could have heard that this morning, you're in luck. Every show we do is archived on the website. So go to the homepage, click on the radio microphone. There's an archive link there. Click there, and every show we've done is there for you to be able to use anytime. We were discussing this last week. Every show we've ever done has been hit every month since it was produced.
Yes.
So people are going back. They're listening to these over and over, sharing them with their friends and family. So Springfield MFI is your resource. If your family is in a time of transition right now, and you have needs, there's a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, especially with finances right now. Marriages are really being stretched to the limit. If you're hurting, if you have a need to go, you know, we can't keep going like this. Give us a call at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Phone number is 882-6767. Talk with one of our licensed professional counselors there. Be able to sort it out and reprioritize, get down to what's going on. The one thing we do not have to waste is time itself. So many times we've worked with families that have been hurting for months, years, even decades before they ever come in and then realize, you know, we weren't that far apart. Why did we waste so much time?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're hurting right now, if you need or just want to talk to someone, give WK a call. Set up a time to come in and talk with you, WK, Marty, or Leslie. Phone number is 882-6767. And again, you can check us out at springfieldmfi.com.
Yeah, speaking of workshops and seminars, I have a mini seminar coming up a week from this Thursday night at Panera Bread, the East Sunshine location. It's coping with stress. Stress to the max. Question mark, are you stressed to the max? You know,
yes.
Over finances or time or just responsibilities or school. Going 40 different directions at the same time. We're going to talk about stress. I'm talking about stress. What stress is. What are the everyday stressors? Did you know that there are four different stress styles? And then also a way to determine if you're stressed to the max or are you burned out? Are you burning out? And there's a real difference in those two. So come find out the answers to these questions and how to deal with stress. You can call 417-882-6767 to register. Space is limited. You must register. Or you can go online and register at springfieldmfi.com, as Ken said just a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost is $10 per person, $15 per couple. It's to provide the coffee and the materials. Just come. It's a relaxed environment. Just be able to sit and talk and to answer some of these questions that are really, really affecting our lives.
Yeah, the mini seminars that we've got going there is called Coffee with WK. So a lot of people have heard WK on the air. This is a chance to come out and meet him in person and listen to him in person. So give us a call. Again, phone number is 882-6767, or you can register online at springfieldmfi.com. There's a poster there on the homepage. Just click on that, and it'll walk you right through.
Yeah. Do you know the founding documents? Do you know what's contained in the Constitution of the United States? Do you know what's in the Declaration of Independence? Do you know what's contained in the Bill of Rights? If your child came up to you or your grandchild came up to you and said, can you tell me the principles that this country is founded upon? Would you be able to do that? Or would you know where to go to find the answers to those questions? I think it's incumbent. It's not only a responsibility. It's incumbent upon us as adults to show our children, to model for our children, that we know not only what's going on in the country, but we know the principles that this country itself is founded upon. And to know that these principles are guarantees of inherent rights, privileges, and responsibilities in our own lives. That these principles are the principles upon which the laws of this country themselves are based. To know the principles that say that we have the right to self-government, which is a real distinction from the minds of a lot of people or the thinking of a lot of people, where it's not self-government that's guaranteed in the Constitution, but it's the right to be governed by a government that has a nation. And that's not how the Constitution is set up. That's not what was declared in the Declaration of Independence. And that's not what's contained in the Bill of Rights. There was a grandmother who was listening to her granddaughter, 5-year-old granddaughter, in the next room. She was playing with some of her young friends, and they were playing Wedding. And so she was hearing the granddaughter talk about, now, you stand here, and you stand here, you be the groom, you be the bride, and you're going to repeat the vows. And she said, repeat after me. These are the vows of the wedding. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. You may kiss the bride. And the grandmother laughed to herself. She thought, isn't that just like children? To think that they know so much and they are role-playing and that they want to know what's going on in the adult world. But the same thing is true when it comes to us when we try to teach about the Constitution or about the Bill of Rights. Do we really know what's in there? Do we really know the meaning of those things? And can we teach them to our children? Can we model them in our own life? And do we have them as a foundation for our own activities and being involved in community affairs? in what's going on in our own neighborhoods, what's going on in our own town. Do they really see us actively involved in that process?
If you'd like to join us in conversation, give us a call at 862-9977, 862-9977, or 1-800-375-0056. A couple challenges this morning. As we're talking about the Constitution, I would like for someone to be able to call in and tell me what paragraph of the Constitution the phrase separation of church and state is in. So, you know, we've heard this a lot, that that's constitutional. So if you can go to the Constitution, find out which paragraph, line, etc., and give us a call back here. Also, in the Constitution, where it talks about being a living document that changes with the times. These are two great phrases that are just kind of thrown out in our schools, in the public arena, etc. So if you can go to the Constitution, look it up, you can Google it. So those that are a little internet savvy, Google this and do a quick search and see if you can find it there. And we'll bring it up at the end of the show here, or the end of the half.
Yeah, you know, there's advice we give to our teenagers before the first dates. You know, that we say, don't discuss politics, don't discuss sex, especially sex, and don't discuss religion.
Don't practice.
Don't practice, right. Because after all, new relationships are tricky enough. Why bring in things that are going to just divide people? Okay? And unfortunately, that seems to be the policy in many communities, that they adopt this policy when it comes to what they allow in school or what they allow to be discussed in business. It's done to promote tolerance, and they say we just need to steer conversations away from issues that divide people. Especially in schools, to keep kids safe, people say they need to limit what they can say and how they can express their beliefs at school. Now, added to these views is a profound misunderstanding, again, of what our rights are in this country. And so in the end, responding to a world in which lawsuits abound and violence erupts without warning, many schools have decided that zero tolerance means zero discussion of controversial topics. Now, there was a bus driver who severely reprimanded a student for discussing her Christian views or her religious views on the bus on the school grounds. She was told that she was telling the student, said that is against federal law. You cannot discuss any type of religious views on government property. Is she right? Is she right? That's, you know, those are questions. If your child came to you and said, what about that? Can I talk about these things that are important to me? What would you tell them?
Yeah, how do you answer?
We have James from Billings on the line. Good morning, James.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, thank you. A little wet, other than that, doing all right.
Yes.
But as far as the separation of church and state, that just, it's not there.
It's not there.
We're not supposed to have a state church.
Mm-hmm.
But the separation of state and church is, and that's all that amounts to.
So you've looked at the Constitution, and separation of church and state is nowhere written
in. I didn't have to look at it. It's not there. That's just like, you know, you go to school,
mm-hmm.
and they teach that we live in a democracy.
Uh-huh.
We don't live in a democracy.
No, we don't.
Democracy is nothing but mob rule.
We do live in a republic.
We live in a representative republic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's important to vote.
Well, James, thank you very much for your call. James is right. Separation of church and state is nowhere to be found in the Constitution. And I'll turn this back over to the listening audience. Do you know where the phrase separation of church and state came from? I know a lot of people are going to go, well, the Supreme Court said, yes, but they did get it from somewhere else. So can you tell me where the separation of church and state, where that phrase came from? Give us a call at 862-9977, 862-9977. You know, as kids growing up in school, growing up in church, it's amazing over the past 25 years the changes that have happened in what can be discussed, what can't be discussed in our schools. You know, the question that WK asked, is it right? Did the school bus driver have the right to say, you can't teach this on the school bus, on the school grounds, that's against the law?
Oh, you can't even talk about it.
Can't talk about it. Is that legally accurate? Give us a call, 862-9977. If we don't teach our kids, who are they going to learn from? What are they going to learn?
I think a lot of parents leave it up to the schools. They just entrust the schools to teach their kids about government, about civics. When I was in high school, we had a civics class.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that civics is even taught any longer. But it's about our government. It's about the founding documents. It's about how we are represented by governing officials, how we're represented by governing officials for our best interest, for the people that they represent. And so we entrust our kids to schools many times, but do we really know what they're being taught, or if they're being taught anything about these things? Parents, how often have you talked with your children? What are you learning in your classroom about these things?
We have Wes and Hollister. Good morning, Wes.
Good morning, sir. I don't remember where that's at, but if I remember right, what the problem is most people read the first part of that sentence. There is a separation of church and state, but it says, if I remember right, it basically says you're not supposed to force the church on anybody, but you're also not supposed to take church out of everything. We still have the freedom to worship as we want to. I'll get off here and let y'all answer that, but I believe that's right. I believe the sentence, well, what people want to go by is the first part of that sentence or paragraph, and the second part of it says you're not supposed to keep people from worshiping either. And I'll get off here.
I'm going to say, Wes is very close. Thank you very much. For those that are listening, Wes did give you a couple clues there, and he is right in the context in which it was written. So if you still are out there looking for the separation of church and state, Wes did give you a little bit of clue as far as the context in which it was written. So some of the paragraphs, the verbiage around that.
Yeah, what Wes is referring to is that the freedom of religion, and he's talking about the freedom of religion that's guaranteed in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, but it's not freedom from religion. And that's a big distinction that many people are saying. We've got to have separation of church and state. We've got to have that. In fact, there's a huge organization in this country today that is espousing, and that they're committed to, the separation of church and state and maintaining the separation of church and state. And so it's important to know that we have the freedom to worship, the freedom of religion, but it doesn't go to the freedom from religion. Oh, we have Dee Wampler.
Good morning, Dee.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Fine. I just tuned into your program. I'm headed from court back to my office, and I heard someone say, where did the doctrine of the so-called doctrine of separation of church and state come from? It came from January 1st, 1802. There was a letter written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist.
That's exactly right.
And in the Jefferson papers, he has about 15, 20,000 sheets of paper. And in those, all those papers, there's this one letter where he talks about a separation of church and state, and he was referring to a national church. The founders did not want a national religion or a national church. And when he said separation of church and state, he didn't say total or absolute, but he did use that phrase, and that's where it came from.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind, the founders then went back to their respective states, and each of the states, or at least most of them, had state religion. So I think 8 or 9 of them did out of the first 13 colonies. But they didn't oppose state religions, but they did oppose a national religion, and that was the context that the letter was written.
That's right.
That's exactly right. The Danbury Baptist Association wrote the letter in regards to, the rumor that there was a Church of the United States being proposed, or some rumor had gotten to them. And much like the Church of England, most of the Americans at that time didn't want to have anything to do with it. So that was a question asked.
Many people today, we call them secularists, or I do. These secularists believe, mistakenly, that we must have an absolute separation of church and state. And of course, that has never been the law. It never will be the law. It is not the law now, nor will it ever be the law, because America's Christian history was so strong that there are hundreds of examples of God or Jesus Christ, the names in our documents and memorials.
That's right.
Not the least of which is In God We Trust, which is our national motto. The Star Spangled Banner has God in it in the fourth verse. The U.S. Constitution mentions our Lord at the bottom of it. Of course, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is known but to God. We celebrate Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter as national holidays.
That's right.
We have a national day of prayer. I mean, there are literally hundreds of examples to disprove the fact that there is a total separation of church and state.
Mr. Wampler, how long have you been practicing law?
43 years. And I've specialized somewhat in the Constitution, and I've read the First Amendment, of course, and I've written a book entitled The Myth of Separation of Church and State.
Oh, you have?
So it's an interesting subject. It's one that I just started looking into because I realized that the ACLU and several other organizations were feeding us this lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a lie, and so that folks understand. Just in conclusion, I'll tell you that there have been a number of U.S. Supreme Court cases recently. One of the landmark cases was in 1983. It was a case called Lynch versus Donnelly. In case anybody wants to Google that, they can Google. And that U.S. Supreme Court case talks about America's Christian history, that we are a nation of faith. Our founding fathers believed in God. And the conclusion of the opinion was that there has never been a total separation of church and state, and probably never will be. The U.S. Supreme Court said there must be an accommodation between the two.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You'll have to see what the word accommodation means, but I think it means a close relationship. So,
I think it's right.
You know, we welcome all faith in this country. It's not that, and the government is not supposed to prefer one over the other. We must recognize that. But on the other hand, we do not have to erase our history.
Today
in our school books, our American history is sacrificed on the altar of political correctness. And it's unfortunate that even in Springfield, the R-12 schools, many of our school books that are rewritten each year, they gradually edit out any mention of God or Jesus or the faith of our founding father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, real quick, we're fixing to go in the bottom half of the hour break. If someone wanted to get the book, Myth of Separation of Church and State, where can they find that?
I'm in the telephone book. You can telephone me, and I'll see that someone gets a copy.
Very good. I'd like to get a copy myself.
I don't know how many people are going to call in. I could make certain copies free, but just enough to cover the cost of printing.
Well, very good. I'd like to get a copy. Thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome.
All right. Danbury Baptist Association, January 1st, 1802. So if you'd like to take a look, you can Google that, and you'll find the entire phrase there. What Thomas Jefferson had said is he actually referred back to the First Amendment. Make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
And he finished that by saying, thus building a wall of separation between church and state.
So there will never be a Church of the United States.
I think it's interesting, even though we have a national cathedral in Washington, D.C., it still doesn't constitute a religion. And it's not a national religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is forbidden by the First Amendment.
And all the way up into the 1800s, there were worship services inside the national capitol.
Yes.
The Capitol building. And with that, we're going to need to take a break. Stick around, and if you'd like to give us a call, 862-9977. We'll be back.
Hi, this is W.K. Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
Listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce, in the second half of the show.
We've been talking about parents and politics, talking about how parents need to be teaching our children about the political system and about the political process, and importantly, about the principles upon which this country is founded. The establishing documents, the founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, as well as the Bill of Rights. We just finished right at the bottom part of the last half hour with Dee Wampler, a respected attorney here in Springfield, who was talking with us about where the phrase separation of church and state came from, and that it's not in the Constitution, it's not in the Bill of Rights. It's actually from a letter by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Association in 1802. It's interesting that, especially in the 1900s, in the last century, that many people continued to use the phrase separation of church and state. They picked it up. And even in the 1940s, as it was being used by the Supreme Court justices, one Supreme Court justice wrote that we need to stop talking about separation of church and state, lest it appear or become accepted as a part of the Constitution and made an observation. And indeed, that's what has happened, that separation of church and state is not in the Constitution, but the First Amendment talks about the United States government shall not make a law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of religion or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government, that type of thing.
So in response to WK's question about the school bus, whether it was legal for the child to even discuss with a friend religion while they're in a school bus on school property, the answer would be, yes, it is legal. What the school bus driver did was wrong. It is legal for her to be able to discuss. The Constitution says you're not to prohibit that.
Exactly. That's freedom of speech.
So the First Amendment comes in.
And you know that a lot of the public schools across the country have been challenged by attempting to keep any talk of religion or discussion of religious principles off the school grounds. And they've been challenged in court. And those who challenged the just kind of a no-talk rule, the schools have been told by the court system, you've got to allow the freedom of speech. And so today we have the gathering around the flagpole, where students can gather together before school and can gather to pray or to meditate around the flagpole. Or they can actually have religious clubs in school, on the school property, after school hours. And so that's even allowed. So it's important, if you think that religion is shut up in a box, that religious principles, I'm not talking about religion, but religious principles cannot be discussed anywhere, and really anywhere outside your own home. That's absolutely false. And we need to teach our children and to model for our children that we have a stake in the process, a stake in the political process of understanding what the issues are and what the character of the people who are seeking our vote really is and what principles that they stand for. As parents, we need to teach our children what these principles are and help them to see the character of those who are running for office.
If we don't teach our kids, who will? And then we wonder why our kids are doing certain things. They didn't learn that from me. Well, no, they didn't learn anything from you. What we teach our kids, it's our responsibility, not someone else's. What our kids learn is our responsibility. We teach them right from wrong. And if we don't, if we teach that everything is just an opinion, that leaves them to challenge anything. As an adult, there is no accountability, no responsibility. If we don't teach them what's right and what's wrong.
But it comes down to, initially, we have to teach them that as they grow up and become adults, that they shoulder the mantle of authority for their life, for self-governance, to have a self-government, that they understand principles and values, that they are able to set priorities, that govern their behaviors, that govern themselves. And I came across a bumper sticker the other day, said, why is it that we can read the Word of God in prisons but not in court? Or not in schools. Why is it that we can read the Word of God, as Dee Womper talked about, on monuments and on Capitol buildings, and we have the phrases, we have scripture actually engraved in stone in many national monuments, but we cannot voice those in a public arena, or that's what we're being told. And we need to understand that there are people who are dedicating their lives to making sure that religion is taken out of this country. And as parents, we need to make sure that we are just as vigilant, just as dedicated, just as committed to teaching our children the principles for effective living, that the principles from God's Word are the principles upon which we base our lives, and that we model our behavior, or that our behavior conforms to, that we are truthful and we're honest, that we believe in God, that we believe that we're part of something greater than ourselves, that we believe we have the right to govern ourselves and to live peacefully with others who are also governing themselves, but also as a body politic, that we are governed by the same laws that have been instituted based upon the principles of authority that we have given to the government, and not the other way around. Government never gives us authority to live our lives, ever. Government is there by the authority, our own individual authority, that we give to it to govern for the whole good. So if you'd like to give us a call, it's 862-9977, 862-9977, or outside the area, 1-800-375-0056. If you're on your cell phone, give us a call, star 56. There's some First Amendment freedoms. We talk about the First Amendment, just a little while ago. But this document, the Bill of Rights, upholds the original desire of America's founding fathers to freely express opinions in a public forum. To be able to speak out about the government or any issue on our minds is a right most other people around the world do not have. In fact, just the concept itself of self-government is a unique concept in this whole world. And so we have something very precious given to us, given to each generation in this country, that we need to guard, that we need to safeguard. Now, the freedoms of the First Amendment, or the freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, as we talked about, the freedom of speech, the freedom includes the right to speak out about your opinions on any subject, with the exception of slander or libel, that is harming someone's reputation with untruthful words. We can say just about anything. And with that right comes the responsibility to protect the freedoms of other people. That means we can allow hate groups to speak their minds even though we disagree with them. Okay? The freedom of speech also is the freedom of the press, guaranteed in the First Amendment. Our founding fathers knew that a free press was important to a free nation. In countries with oppressive dictators, the press is run by that leader's party, and there's no freedom to write or publish dissenting opinions. No. The president of Russia, President Putin, his successor's hand-picked successor, received 70% of the vote. Isn't that amazing? What choice do those people have? What real choice do they have? What do they hear from a free press? They don't have a free press. They only hear what the government tells the press to say. They don't have a free press, and that's true in many totalitarian countries around the world. Also, the freedom of assembly. When a dictator sees a group of people gather to protest his leadership, he either hides away or he orders the protesters arrested or shot. How many of us remember the student challenge to the Chinese government and saw that one lone individual confronting that tank? That's an image just burned into the minds of many people.
Mm-hmm.
Minds of many people. But the right to assemble, to peacefully assemble, is a right given to us in this country without the fear that we are going to be imprisoned or arrested, because the right to assemble, the right of free assembly, means the exchange of ideas, which is healthy in a free country. And then we have the right to petition the government. This allows all citizens the ability to say just what they think about the government. There's no fear of being hunted down and arrested in the middle of the night, which happens to outspoken people in countries that are not free. And so, listen, parents, we have a great stake here. We have something that's been handed to us by the sacrifice of our forefathers, by the sacrifice of our own grandparents and parents. We have something very precious given to us that we have to safeguard. And it's incumbent upon us to know what these principles are and to teach them to our kids.
Three things that I think we need to get back to teaching our kids. One is to get them involved in the political process, teaching them what the process is, how we were founded. Getting into the history of America, the true history, both good and bad. We didn't always get it right. It's our ability for a more perfect union. And we do attempt to continue to make this the best. Our faith. What are we teaching people? What are we teaching our kids? Throughout history, history shows that when faith is taken out or reduced to pure myth or insignificance, that culture will just crumble. The government will crumble. The country will crumble. Because we're not held accountable. So our faith. And in today's societies, we're looking around some of the problems that we've got right now, teaching basic finance. We don't teach kids finance. We don't teach in-depth how money really works. All of these things come down to a personal responsibility. And that's what we're talking about. When we talk about self-government, it is on me. It is upon me to be responsible for myself. And I have to have that knowledge. The United States isn't a democracy. It is a representative republic. It is advanced citizenship. We cannot do this out of ignorance. We must have a knowledge. We must study what it's founded on for it to operate properly. These are challenges that we face, and we're facing a lot of issues today because of the ignorance on these issues. ignorance not being a negative thing, it's just a lack of what is truth, what is the knowledge.
Lack of knowledge, yeah.
So this is the challenge, is that we take responsibility, we start teaching our kids about the political process, about what's going on, why things are happening. We teach them about faith. Anyone ever tells you, well, this is what I heard, it's in the Bible, then go read the Bible. Read the context in which that was written. They tell you it's in the Constitution? Look it up. Be able to discuss it, to debate it.
Go back to the source.
Absolutely. Every time. If your preacher says something from the pulpit Sunday and you go, go look it up. See if he's right. See if it's the context in which it was written.
Yeah.
One of the great things about a lot of discussions I've had recently with the Bible is the fact that when Christ went into the desert for 40 days after his baptism, Satan challenged him and used scripture to challenge him.
He sure did.
Wasn't in the context, was against what the total context was, but even Satan used scripture against Christ. Point is, be able to get in and learn what you believe to be able to have that foundation and to be able to teach your kids and pass that on. Same thing with finance. We have so many kids today that don't believe in personal responsibility, learning how money actually works, what the investment tools are, how our economy, our capitalist economy, works. And we have so many people that badmouth what we have. We have the greatest country in the world. I've been in numerous countries around the world, serving in the U.S. Navy. There isn't one country that stacks up to the United States. Not one. And yet we have people that will badmouth it. We need to have the knowledge. We need to support and defend our United States. And we have to take responsibility for it at a personal level. And that's what we're talking about this morning. We have just a couple minutes. Dick and Republic?
Yeah, I didn't know if I was going to get a word in or not.
Good morning, Dick. Come on in.
On earlier in the program, not your program, but this morning between 6 and 9, there's a guy that has his program.
Okay,
and
got about 20 seconds here.
A couple days ago, he was frothing at the mouth about the fact that the Constitution is a living, breathing document. And he claims to be a conservative, and he claims to be left, right wing and everything, but he says that the Constitution is a living, breathing document. I just wanted to know if there is anywhere that that's stated as such, or where that notion comes from.
In short, I'm going to try to answer this as quick as I can. The Constitution is a living document, and the fact that the principles found in it are timeless. The Constitution, so many people use that phrase to change the Constitution, to be able to go to a court and say, well, we want the Constitution to say this now instead of what it said originally. And they're trying to use that as a point to say, well, we can just change the Constitution at a whim. The Constitution is timeless because it is a foundation. It is solid. Those principles are timeless. And if we teach those and adhere to them, we continue. So in a nutshell, that's one way it's being used, but the way it really should be.
Yeah, the phrase itself is not in the Constitution.
As we wrap things up, this is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Look us up, springfieldmfi.com, or give us a call at 882-6767. Another thing real quick, go to the website, the Red Skelton Pledge of Allegiance. If you haven't heard that, go to the radio archives and listen to that. It's been a wonderful day. Thank you for the calls. Remember, it's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.